भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I would like to welcome all of you very affectionately today. We will continue with the subject of the introductory class. Days are moving in such a quick succession that I don't remember when we gave it. It's about something which has totally enriched my own Krishna conscious practice. It is entering into a relationship with Krishna. So we will have part two today, and hopefully, Krishna willing, part three is also coming in, I think, Sunday. As far as I know, I'm not 100% sure who gives the class on Sunday, but I'm thinking it. Let's see. So we will choose a text 17, first canto, chapter 5. Please repeat. Tyaktva sadhamam charanam bhujam hadeya Tyaktva svadhamam charanam bhujam hadeya Bhajan apakvota pateta to yadi Bhajan apakvota pateta to yadi Yatra kvavabat Tam abud amushyakim. Kovata apto bhajatam svadharmata.
Kovata apto bhajatam svadharmata.
I'm still trying to find the right melody or meter. No. In the absence of a better one. Tyaktva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare.
Tyaktva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare.
Bhajana pakvota pateta to yadi.
Bhajana pakvota pateta to yadi.
Yatra kvavabhatram abhut amushyakim.
Yatra kvavabhatram abhut amushyakim.
Kovata apto bhajatam svadharmatah.
Kovata apto bhajatam svadharmatah.
Yes, someone else, please. Very good. Jyaktva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana bhagvota patetta to yadi. Yatkva dvabhatram abhuram shakim.
Sattva svadhamam charanam bhujam hare.
Tyaktva svadamam charanam bhujamare Svadamata. Mm-hmm. Vaishnavis, please. Tvaktva svadamam charanam bhujam hare. Bhajana bhakto tapate tato yadi. Thank you so much. Tyaktva, having forsaken svadharmam,
one's own occupational engagement,
charanam bhujam, the lotus feet,
Harehe,
of Lord Hari. Bhajan, in the course of devotional service. Apakvaha, immature. Atta, for the matter of. Patet, falls down. Tata, from that place. Yadi, if. Yatra, whereupon, kva, what sort of, va, or, abhadram, unfavorable, abhud, shall happen, amusya, of him, kim, nothing, kavata, what interest? Abdaha, obtained. Abhajatam, of the non-devotee. Svadharmataha, being engaged in occupational service. So this is a glorification of devotional service. And if you listen carefully, I'm sure you will find either yourself and your spiritual ideals in this verse, or you will find a part of yourself in this text. One who has forsaken or given up his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound not only to his parents, family members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc., but also to the great philosophers, the poets, the scientists, etc. All these people have done something for you, and you are benefiting and profiting from them. So something is expected to be given from your side in return. It is enjoined or prescribed in the scriptures that one can give up all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in devotional, in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, all is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by such temporary sentiment, and in the long run, due to many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the history. Look at Bharat Maharaj. He was obliged to take his birth as a stag, that's a deer, ein Rehkitz, due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in his next birth, he became a stag, although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Or, similarly, look at Chitraketu. He also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering under the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there's a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue to serve in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamil is one of them. Ajamil, in his early life, was a devotee, but in his youth, he fell down. Still, he was saved by the Lord at the end. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Sivate Bhakti Anta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Jayatam Savato Pango Mama Manda Matergati Matsavasva Padam Gojo Radamara Namohano. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Today I would look, I like to look at the subject matter of failure in devotional services. There are various degrees of failures, and I think you will agree with me that we need to have some understanding and come to some peace with our own failures when you hear this. And I would also like to say how to deal with failures in a mature way. I think there are failures in spiritual life on various levels, small failures, failures who have greater consequences, and there are failures which are really very, very substantial. Small failures, for instance, in my case was I did not go early enough to bed, to rise early enough. I like to be earlier up. I like to chant my rounds in the morning, but I failed to do this, and I even came too late to this class which I'm supposed to give, and impolitely made you wait for the beginning of the class. That's definitely a failure on my side. There are what I would call failures which are more grave. It is failures to follow our vows, and there is failures who are even more dangerous. It is when we engage in very heavy criticism of devotees. Krishna never accepts the service of someone who does it. But then there are failures who are even more dangerous. It's that we left Krishna. That is tremendous as a failure. So, I mean, that's the Adi mistake, you know, the original failure from everything. But we do find out that Krishna is more kind to us and our own failures than we will ever be. When we are making failures, well, if it's our own failure, we are ready to forgive ourselves. Like, I could give you reasons, Prabhu, I am a little old, and I took this heavy medication the last few days. My inner system is totally upside down, and blah, 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 and so I could. This small, we are very, very easy. We are willing to forgive ourselves, but when it comes to others, we are not so much willing to forgive others. We hold it in our mind, the failures. That's a psychological speciality of Kali Yuga, that this is there. But Krishna is not looking at failures the same way we do. He's really not. And here you find in this verse a description of a devotee, someone who has given up all the other small dharmas, duties towards this, that, the others, and taken to devotional service, but then has an accident because he's still not mature. And no problem, Krishna says. In the end, he will be successful by my grace. I still remember when I came one year to Shida Mayapur, I talked to one of these two twins, Pankajangri Prabhu and his brother Jananivas. You must know they had left England in a very early state of their spiritual life, and they had gone throughout the world to find truth. They were real truth searchers, and they ended up in Mayapur when we just started the project. I hear it was extremely austere at that time. The devotees were taking their showers from these temporarily installed pumps, you know, you quickly get water in Mayapur because the water level is very high there due to Mother Ganga's presence. For toilets, they had to go to these. Oh, it's not good to speak about this, especially not on an empty stomach, you know. Very, very, very low-tech toilets, you know. And they surrendered there in this snake-infested area and built up this beautiful project and stayed as the Pujaris. They can tell you stories, you know, how they had to serve Lord Nrsingadev standing up to here in the water. Imagine, and because there is a huge flood over the period, and they offer the light to the Nrsingadev deity like this, while a snake circles around them, swims around them. It's Hare Krishna. It's really amazing surrender and amazing austerities. So therefore we all devotees who know them consider them as special souls. So I once asked him, one of them, can you please tell me, what do you think, what does Krishna think about all of us? We are moving towards him, we are trying to move towards him, and we have so many failures the way we deal with each other, for instance. Always new people come and then they join and then they leave us after some time because something was not all right. You know, there's a secret joke about the Hare Krishna movement. Better you remain a guest, because you will be treated better as a guest, someone who shows interest, than someone who is a devotee. That is a joke, insight. It's the insight. You know, there's bright humor and there's dark humor. This is on the dark side of the humor. And when you are the guest, oh, come, did you already take prasadam? You know, you came with the shoes in the temple, no problem, you didn't know better. Maybe next time you park the shoes outside. You have a question? Yeah, of course I have all the time. We are preachers, no? And so on. And then... once you become a devotee, different things are expected of you, and then the reaction somehow changes from seeing whatever is good into whatever is bad, what you do. For the guest, we see, oh, he shows some interest. Wonderful. He's awakening in his spiritual life. When for a devotee, we see what is bad, what he did not do well. And there is some natural, there is some also some justice to it. I don't want to be so unjust. As a community, we set certain standards to do what we need to do, and therefore, yes, we have to see that the standards are kept. But I'm just, why always have light humor? Is this, let us also do some other humor, to laugh about ourselves from another perspective. No, that is sometimes desirable. Something can be seen when we take another perspective, which we overlook when we only look with one perspective. Krishna, my dear devotees, keeps on seeing throughout a devotional career what a devotee does good, or even did good. There's a verse in the Ramayana which is quoted also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Rama opens his heart. He says, someone who once means at one single time. It's an exclusive event. It was not repeated. It's a one thing. Who once said, "My dear Lord, I surrender unto you." I always keep an eye on that person and I protect him. This is what Krishna does. He only needs to see one time something good. And he protects. So I'm asking this devotee, I was again, you know, I think at times every one of us is discouraged by our community life. I think it's natural. I asked him, what do you think, what Krishna thinks about our failures and so on? And will we come back to him? And this devotee, this saintly devotee said, of course we will come back to him. Of course, can you please explain? You of course. And he then said, listen, when there is a father who sees his children running towards him and they begin to fight while they run. Maybe one person ran before the other person, or maybe one child was, you know, pulling at the arm of the other child. And the children even fall and quarrel. The father will think, oh, they came to me. They are on their way to me. Wonderful. And he will understand, he looks from a higher perspective, that they're still children and they are dear to me. And I remember this, we had guests in the Gaura Bhavan a little while ago who brought their children with them. Angel-like children. They really, the only thing which is missing are wings, you know. That's how they looked. And then we grown-ups, we did our worship, we sang kirtans and everything. And all of a sudden, I hear just under the window, terrible screaming. And it was so bad that we had to interrupt. I mean, and we looked all down, and there were two children, one on each side of a broom, and pulling on the broom, and you know, just telling each other, screaming at each other, and I thought this is the end of the visit. We had really these guests who came there. Really high class guests, you know, like, one of the children they were quarreling with was our own, our devotee child, you know. So I thought, oh no, what will be the impression? They will politely say, oh, we forgot, we have an urgent work to do, we need to go now. But then these high class, I called the parents on the window and said, I'm really sorry, look at this, our child is quarreling with your child so bad, they seem to murder each other in the next moment. And he said, oh, no, what do you think it's all about? The person said, well, it's about the broom. One wants to have the broom and the other also wants to have the broom. No, you don't understand children psychology because you don't have a child. It's not about broom. It is about they want to establish themselves as a person. It's about their self-worth as a child, their own personality. They want to defend their own personality, and it could be anything, a shoe. Therefore, you cannot argue to them, listen, it's only a broom. You will never use this broom in your life. It's nothing to quarrel about. It's not about that. It's an inner struggle each child has on its own. So this is natural. It's important for growth and so on. Oh, thank you. I learned something new, I said. So Krishna also, as a grown-up person, you can look at it and you can see what is the matter. So when Krishna sees us failing and falling, he from his level sees it completely different than we who are absolutely involved in our own little minds and our own little thoughts. And he loves us just like a parent will love their child when they behave abnormal. So this is what this saintly devotee told me. Krishna sees only one thing. They are turning to me. They are mine. I will take care of them. They belong to me. They will be at the end, by my strength, successful. See, when we are with Krishna, we share in Krishna's qualities. This is now a deep philosophical point. It will be new for some of you. Krishna has six qualities in full. Aishwarya, opulence, virya, strength, yasha, fame, shri, means wealth, jnana, means all knowledge, and vairagya, renunciations. These are the six qualities of God. And believe it or not, in your original constitutional position, you have these qualities of God, not in quantity. But the moment you leave Krishna and become separated, instead of Aishwarya, opulence, you feel constant lacking and deficiency. I need something. When you leave Krishna, instead of strength or virya, you are often seeing yourself being overwhelmed and defeated by external circumstances. Let us look at one of our dear most community members. It's a couple, Vaishnava and his good wife, Rasamurti. I saw it yesterday after midnight, this email where Vaishnava does, opens his heart and tells me how extremely difficult it is at this stage for both of them to come to grips that Rasamurti has a terminal cancer, also ein Krebs mit tödlichem Ausgang, as far as science is concerned. They try now everything to not, you know, the alternative measures. It's a tumor which cannot be surgically removed. It's one of the things where, so they try now, of course, Chinese, I do not know what alternative medicines, but everything. But he told me how overwhelming it is for both of them, this situation. This happens when the soul leaves Krishna. The soul gets overwhelmed by circumstances like birth, old age, disease, and death. It's not strong to do it. Yasha is fame. But we don't feel famous even if you are famous. There is always, due to the the inner critic, a feeling of inferiority or being less than the other. Even if you are very highly placed, I know Cicero, so famous Cicero, always felt that Caesar is superior to him. They were consuls. They were had the highest power in the civilized world of the time. The Roman Empire was a world empire. It extended everywhere. And whoever was a consul there had the power. But Cicero, whose words are even now known, I think you must have all heard in your schooling about Cicero, always felt inferior. So even if you're famous, for 2,000 years famous, you know, you suffer from inferiority or a minority complex, because your fame, your yasha, whatever you have, that is compromised. Shri, the wealth, or glory, sometimes it's, we all have this, but when we come to the world, we experience loss. With every loss, just loss. I have spoken by now, I met a very rich man, no one of our community, and I asked him, so how do you feel with all your, you're very, very wealthy? How is the feeling? Does it make you content? And he knew, of course, I'm a monk, and I'm now putting a little. So he didn't want to answer like this. So he said, "Yes, I'm satisfied. I can look at the house. I can buy everything. I can take care of some people, and so on." And then I met him, and he had just he was investing into alternative currencies, you know, Bitcoin. And anyways, I don't think many of you know this. And he told me something, that he felt very much in anxiety about the Bitcoin. And I asked, but you have enough money, no? Why? If you lose a million here, you won't even feel it. He said, there is something else when you are rich. It's the anxiety of the missed opportunity. It's something which we are all very poor, you know. I can see by your, when I look in your refrigerators, I'm looking in one, very poor. But it's a fear that you did not use an important opportunity to become richer. They will be able to explain you, and there are psychologists who deal with this anxiety. You know, we do not understand because we are not in the situation. There is one yogi who sings, "My precious possession is possessionlessness. I don't need, I don't have anything, and I'm satisfied." Because there is no anxiety when you have nothing. No anxiety when you have nothing. Really, nothing to lose. So then jnana, we in our original position, you have knowledge. But when we are in the material world, we are so ignorant. Imagine, we identify with the body. We identify with the changing shifts of our mind. Have you ever noted the mind? In 1 second, it can make a crisis scenario. Have you noted? In 1 second, you feel like, the mind, it's only the mind. And we identify with these thoughts. Just see this ignorance which we have. We who are full of bliss, we who are full of unlimited, what is it, knowledge, we, where there is nothing to fear that we die, because we are eternal, we identify with this body, which is nirananda. It's not blissful, it's not pure, and it is only there for a little time. And renunciation, that's also a spiritual quality which Krishna has. When we come to this world, we lose it, and we become so attached to our sense gratification. It is so let me give you a simple example. When a spark which is in the fire leaves the fire, falls out of the fire, then all its fiery quality qualities become extinguished and turned into the opposite. So when we leave Krishna, our divine qualities, which we have in minute quantities, are not only extinguished, because they turn into their opposites. Aishwarya, opulence, into a lack of deficiency. Virya, inner strength. We are overwhelmed by the circumstances. And I will jump forward to the fifth. Our knowledge turns into ignorance. And in this way, we get lost in our ahankaras, our egos, and our attachments, and our little story. All of us, my dear devotees, and it doesn't help you if you join any spiritual institution, live in our story, where we are thinking from the character's point of view, which we are. We all are caught up in a story which is not our own, which our mind keeps on telling, and which is reinforced by our ego, our attachment. All of us. I'm living in the Sachinandan Swami story at the moment. What would it be like if you can walk out of your story into freedom? Just imagine a situation. There's a novel, and there's a main character. I talked yesterday to Bhuta Bhavana, Prabhu and his wife, about this. Let us call him John. If you like a German name better, Johannes. And Johannes has just climbed the fifth mountain in his life. High mountain. He has done already Mount Everest. He has done the one in South America. Forgot what it is. Nanga. No. He has done a few mountains. But he wants to, in this life, finish seven mountains which he wants to climb, because he is competing with Simon, who of us is the better mountain climber. So Johannes sits on the last mountain which he climbed, and he is there, and he thinks, I think I will have to climb a few other mountains, and my next one will be the K1. The K1 is, as far as I remember from I was interested in childhood in mountains. It's the most difficult mountain to climb. It's called the Killer Mountain. And Johannes thinks, I have to scale this, ich muss darauf, because I need to show that I'm a better mountaineer, a better mountain climber. And he sits there on the mountain, and he cannot enjoy the good view and the cool breeze and everything, because he lives in the story of Johannes. He has to climb mountains to show, to feel worthy as an individual. Now imagine more, he says, wait a minute, do I really have to climb more mountains? I'm already old, I don't want to kill myself. And the Killer Mountain, I mean, it has killed many, many people who climbed there. Do I have to do this? No. I'm free to look at the mountain, but and he says, wait a minute, do I have to compete with Simon all the time? No. What is the need to compete with Simon? Oh. And then Johannes has a deep moment and thinks about his life. Why, up till now, was I always acting like this Johannes? My God, this is a story which is not following my own script. It's the following the script of another one. And Johannes said, this is profound. Let's see, do I have some paper? And he writes a paper and he writes a letter. My dear author of this Johannes story, I just realize that I'm not Johannes. I'm someone else. And I don't want to follow your, what you wrote. And he says, tsk, he throws it in the air and he climbs down the mountain. When he comes back home, he finds a letter in the letterbox and he said, wait a minute, you can't do this. This is my novel. You can't walk out of my novel. You are created by me. You are a figure in my novel. And Johannes has met the Hare Krishnas on the way and he said, no, Maya, thank you. I'm walking out of your story. I don't follow your writing any longer. I'm independent. I can do what I wish. And I want to surrender. I read Prabhupada's books. I don't want to follow your story any longer. Just imagine as a possibility of life that you would do the same. This is amazing. So Krishna, who is the author behind all authors, Krishna, who loves you nevertheless, no matter who you are, Krishna waits for you that you make this turn and come to him and return to him. We spoke about falling, the greatest fall out, that is leaving the spiritual world and then coming to this world and then covering ourselves with a gross body and a subtle body, and in the process suffering from complete forgetfulness of our original true form. There is a word for this, Sanskrit word. It's a complete forgetfulness. It's just like a freeman all of a sudden acting like Johannes with the gods and all. So in the same way, my dear devotees, when we leave Krishna, the Krishna Sambandha, we fall into our own little insignificant stories, and the greatest loss, the größte Verlust, which affects us the most severe, is called Tap Kleshananda. It's that we forget the bliss which we experience because of longing for Krishna. In this world, this, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is your greatest treasure. It doesn't matter so much that you feel a lacking. It doesn't matter so much that you are overwhelmed by circumstances. It doesn't matter so much that you are feeling inferior to others. It does not matter so much that you lost your bliss. What matters 100% and entirely is that you fall into a story and forget how blissful it is with Krishna. Because if you remember how blissful you are when you are in Krishna consciousness, you can have the right desire. I want to go to you, Krishna. It's only when we forget this sweet longing for Krishna that we become overwhelmed. As long as we have that feeling of Vipralamba, I only need you, my Lord. And then whatever is happening while you are still encased in the body, that is of a small matter. But when you have this longing, we have to stop seeing a devotee by his faults. If the devotee maintains his longing for Krishna, he will be safe, because he is still connected to Krishna in some way. Only when he becomes overwhelmed that he just did not care, does not care any longer. And Krishna sees when a devotee keeps this longing intact. Krishna sees it, and he only looks towards this. I will end with a story which I hope you will find relevant for your life. It is from one of the Upanishads. It's about a person who goes into the forest to look for riches there, roots and so on, and who comes to what is a trap, but he doesn't see it. Er kommt zu einer bedeckten tiefen Grube. It's a trap. He comes there and he keeps walking without understanding that there is really no ground, although it's only with a few thin sticks it is covered, and grass is put on there. So he comes there and boom, falls down, and he falls down very, very deep. And he's caught in a net, and by the shock of so much falling, he has lost his memory who he is. He's found by Aborigines that live there under the ground, and the Aborigines bring him to the medicine man, the shaman of the village, and the shaman investigates him, and he says, yes, he's right, he's the right man. So they are becoming extremely happy, the Aborigines. They slaughter their previous king, I don't want to get into the details, but they eat him afterwards because they believe that if they eat a king, the power of royalty enters them, and they will. There's some belief they have like this. The cannibals have a belief system, believe it or not. There's good anthropological research now out. They have a belief why it's good to eat humans. So it's not shared by Krishna conscious devotees. So sometimes you have to make yourself clear in all details. So anyways, he is a king for 2 years. And he's totally forgetful and takes on a new identity, which, believe it or not, he likes. His ego tells him, I'm a king. He feels great satisfaction. Go there, do this, and he orders people around. Until his brother, who was looking all these years, finds the abyss. He somehow goes by the path which is on the side of the abyss and finds his brother and addresses him, brother, I found you. How do you look? And he is totally changed. He is dressed, he has bones, knochen, and you can imagine, I don't want to get into the details of the story. He is totally in the role of the king, and the brother starts to talk to him again. And then daily he discusses with him about old memories, and he just doesn't remember in the beginning. The king is so much caught in his story. But at a certain time, the narrations of his brother make sense to him. and he can understand something, and finally he's ready to walk out of his story. He climbs up the small path at the edge of the abyss and walks into freedom. So my dear devotees, this waking up from our story, which is spun by Maya, is only possible if you hear what your brother talks to you. It's Sanatana Goswami shares with us an event, how he woke up. He said one day, he was a minister at that time, one day in a dream he saw a Brahman in a dream who gave him the Bhagavatam. And he took the Bhagavatam in the dream and was very grateful. Then he woke up, he did his morning duties, and he hears a knocking on the door, and the same Brahmana who he dreamt of is before his door and gives him the Bhagavatam. So twice he gets the Bhagavatam, first in a dream and second in the waking consciousness. And he takes this as a confirmation, I should read Bhagavatam, I should study Bhagavatam, and I should live by the Bhagavatam. And he has an experience, a great experience, and he becomes the great Sanatana Goswami, who taught the later period in his life, wrote 5 verses in glorification of the Bhagavatam. And one verse says, my own Bhagavatam, my only friend. You know, he came into his so-called story and he gave him, you know, he was lying there dreaming and he gave him the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam is his only friend, and he for him it is clear, this is Krishna who reaches out to him into the world and who enlightens him and helps him to move out of one book by another book, to walk out of one story with another story, the beautiful story of the personality of Godhead, no? Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful narration of the personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says, one thing which is used therapeutically can help you to cure the problem which is created by the same thing. We are in the world of names. We give the objects, the persons, the situations, certain names to which we attach names to them. And that's how we are creating what Ludwig Wittgenstein would call our language games, you know, the languages with which we operate. And we take another name, the holy name of Krishna, and we chant it, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we wake up from the world of names. We are spun in our own stories, and we take another story therapeutically, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we wake up from our false stories. So in this way, one thing can be cured with another thing. Those who have studied homeopathy can tell you how it works. I don't know the science. And this, my dear devotees, is Krishna's way. The what Krishna installs in us, what he gives us by bringing the Bhagavatam to us, by bringing the holy name to us, is a very simple message. You belong to me. You belong to my world. You are in reality a resident of the spiritual world. You are meant, when the Lord welcomes Gop Kumar, he says, please, I'm so happy that you have returned to my world. Now please enjoy with me. What is there to enjoy? Well, unlimited Aishwarya, unlimited Virya, unlimited Yasha, unlimited Shri, unlimited Jnana, unlimited Vairagya, you know, unlimited opulence, strength, glory, knowledge, renunciation. And you know what is important? We should become enthusiastic when we hear this. Prabhupada writes this in the 15th chapter. When a devotee hears the information about that there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one can go back to Krishna in this one lifetime, one should become enthusiastic by this information. And what, there is a difference between immature enthusiasm, that's how we start. We can only be immature on the path when we start. Unless there are a few exceptions. I think Nandi Mudhi's daughter might be one of Ananya Bhakti, exclusive Bhakti. And it's clearly a past life case and past life attraction which is working there. So then you bring already something in this life. But okay, if you're not, your enthusiasm must be immature. That's how we start, and everything which is immature will not hold for a long time. Then we get into our crisis. That's to be expected, that's natural, and in some ways that's good and necessary. But then we need to discover a mature enthusiasm, which is nothing else than the last glimmer of light, which the spark which fell from the fire has. It's this mature enthusiasm is based on nothing else, that is the only wealth of the soul, and that is longing for Krishna in whatever situation one finds himself or herself. Longing, yearning, desiring 100% for Krishna, even though one is struggling with the mind and the senses. That is the only wealth. I remember when I was a young devotee, there was a wonderful preacher in the Heidelberg temple who really knew the scriptures. He had been trained by Prabhupada personally, and he would say and prove to us from the scriptures, he would look at this verse, look at that verse. He would say that the only thing the soul still has is the ability to desire. Nicht die Fähigkeit zu wünschen is the only thing. You cannot control your activities. You may not control all the aspects of your mind. As I said, in 1 second, I have talked with a few people who were in Jamashtami, devotees, and And one very particularly observative person had said, yeah, the mind can switch in 1 second to full catastrophe thinking. Krishna. Yes. So, yes, this is what I wanted to present to all of you. It's something which goes on in my own life. It is something which I think will make sense in a more philosophical context, and that is that, my dear devotees, everything is already all right. You are already perfect. You don't have to become a better version of yourself. You are already eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And you are already loved of by Krishna. You just need to wake up from the story which the ego tells you and the mind tells you. And because Krishna loves you, and you just think in your life, I belong to Krishna. I belong to you, Krishna. I'm yours. I want to satisfy you. This is called the sambandha, the foundation of spiritual life, which has to become deeper and deeper as we go and enter into the higher levels of a realization of this fact. No? The higher level, until you see your spiritual identity as clear as sunshine. Good. Hare Krishna, I'm finished here. Would you like to ask a question to this subject matter? Yes, I see two devotees going up. Yes, it seems we stay with the two because we have little time. Bhagavinda, I saw you first, and then I saw the enlightened Nitai. Yes.
This verse seems to be suggesting.
Yes. A lot of singing went on. No problem. No, it describes, this verse seems to suggest, the question is that one should leave his dharma to enter into direct devotional service of the Lord. This is not encouraged in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Can you please explain? In the end instruction of Krishna is Sava Dhammang Parijaja, give up all instructions, all dharmas, and just surrender unto me. In the Bhagavatam, this verse speaks about this scenario, that someone just says goodbye my this, goodbye my that, goodbye. There are verses about this also. Now I want to just remember Govinda and serve him. Now before this stage, Krishna speaks, he says, it is better to follow your own dharma than the dharma of someone else, even if you make mistakes while following your own dharma. So these are different levels of development in spiritual life. I think also that it's very difficult to find a completely 100% surrendered soul who can follow this this last verse of the Gita and many other verses. Of course, we should always keep Manushya Dharma intact, Manushya Dharma means the ethical principles intact, always, you know, not hurting anyone. It's based on ahimsa is the, or daya, showing compassion to others, is the highest dharma. As far as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is concerned, he says there is no higher dharma than showing compassion to others for a Vaishnava in this world. And then, as far as the Mahabharata is concerned, it says, oh, there is no higher dharma than ahimsa, non-hurting. No? This is something, it must be always kept intact. And most properly, if we are not... And other, so Manushya Dharma must be intact. And Sanatan Dharma is clear, that demands of us full surrender, while we may still do, be on the conditioned state and so on. You know, the Dharma is not just one thing, that's what I want to explain, it's three things. It's Sanatana Dharma is there. Manushya Dharma means acting ethically, morally correct. And then there is Svadharma. This is most difficult to find out. The others are pretty clear, but Svadharma is so individualistic. It's your own talent, so to say, what you should do. I think you are a bird. That's your Svadharma. Flying, you know. No. I'm sorry, I'm a little... I spoke now in the ISKCON language. That's how we would talk, but we need to look a little deeper. Is really... Dharma is not really the occupation, what we do now. It's hidden inside. Let me give you an example. Amongst us, we have someone who at the present moment is coaching... in a big international firm, the workers. And he feels all right, but there is now a great anxiety on the working market that, you know, due to the present situation of COVID-19, people find out they can work very well from home offices. And things are changing in our society. And it may not be that this devotee will be a coach, but his dharma is not a coach. His dharma is to benefit and help others. And that can be done even if he loses his job. Most probably he will not, because he's so good. But even if he loses his job and so on. So dharma is like really the Svadharma. Even if you use, if you lose the job which you feel now very careful, which you feel very happy about, if you know what is underlying, you know, what is behind even the expression of your dharma, then you will be fine everywhere. I would like to give, yeah. I used to say my dharma is a traveling preacher. I'm not traveling any longer because it's so complicated at the moment. But I think I'm a preacher. Prabhupada taught me this. So now I've discovered the internet. I think most of you don't even look at my internet presentations because it's so much. But, you know, just like I used to run around, now it's the internet. And I know only very few of my disciples are listening. That's the nature of life. But it goes really well, by Krishna's mercy. So let us say there is no internet. I will continue to preach then with the same intensity to my neighbors. Let me say there are no neighbors any longer. I will sit in the forest and you will hear me singing to the birds and trying to spread Krishna consciousness around, because that's what I do. That's even if I'm not very good in it, I'm hearing from the from Krishna's own word, it's better to do your dharma, even if you do it imperfectly, than imitate someone else and do. So, Hare Krishna, that is an answer. You have to, and that, I mean, I'm so happy, Bhagavinda, that somehow I joined a movement where this is somehow, you know, easily available, this dharma, you know, and I didn't really need to look. I just slipped into it by I didn't know what was happening at that time, but I think it's me. I can now say, Krishna. So yes, this is just different levels of spirituality. On one, yes, good. Our Prasida Nitai. Nice to see you, by the way. Yes, Prasida Nitai.
So you mentioned one point, our greatest treasure is longing for Krishna.
Yes.
And I want to connect that with something you said on Prabhupada's appearance day, that the seven gifts of spiritual master, and the seventh one is the desire to one day serve God and Krishna in Vrindavan. So the question comes down to, the disciple gets these seeds, these seven gifts. So this desire for Krishna is like a seed, you would say.
Yeah.
But if the disciple is, for example, a bad gardener, he kills the seed, what is his hope then?
His hope is, there's good hope, great hope, actually. You know, Prasida Nitai says, I have to repeat it for those who listen later, we get gifts from the spiritual master, but they come in seed form, and our work to do, our responsibility is to take these seeds and cultivate them. What if the devotee is or disciple is a bad gardener and kills the seed? Yes, is there any hope? And I say, there is hope as long as you have the desire and the longing. But then Prasida Nitai says, what if this longing also gets covered over? I would like to say, this is... the lectures which I intend to give now. I see this particular lecture was not so... I want to give it better. I was, you know, I'm not in my best situation today. I want to show the devotees of Krishna and those who are spiritually searching sincerely, and there are a lot of people who search really sincerely out there. You will be really amazed. What? And I think by the situation, the present shift in the society, more and more people will ask the question, what does not break when everything else breaks around me? And they will become more interested in God again, and in the things we heard, and bhakti in general, and so on. So for the devotees and for these people, you need to know you are already loved. No matter what you do, if you have or had in the past this little spark, that is already all right. And someone who knows this information, that Krishna is there and you are the part of Krishna, and your duty is only to leave what is false, you know, the stories the ego tells you, the material contamination, I could also say. But if you know there is a hope and there is a wonderful future waiting. It's easier than if you are like most of the devotees. Oh, Krishna, so far, that is beyond me, Prabhu. I'm too advanced, and so on. You know what we found out, Bhujan Prabhu and myself? We began to talk about Krishna Katha, and because we felt in ISKCON no one talks about Krishna directly. Because they think we are not yet on that level. We don't have, yes, you don't talk about Rasa Leela and your original identity and so on and so forth. Yes. But you know, Mahaprabhu said something very important. There was a devotee in his Leela who really left him even. And there is a text for him, Mahaprabhu. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord. And glorious is that Lord who does not give up his servant. This is very good. You should not leave Krishna, but Krishna does not leave you. Do you understand this? If by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. I know in our modern language no one likes to be grabbed by the hair. Yeah, I understand, and especially not your good seeker, which might drip, you know, when someone grabs you out. I know but this is an affectionate analogy. It shows that Krishna goes behind you even if you leave him and takes care of you. That is glory. That describes the Lord. It is the Lord's own mouth. He says this. He says it in the exact context, I should say, where this verse appears, is, you know, there were Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, who were devotees in the Madhurya Rasa, and they related to Radha and Krishna in their confidential Madhurya Rasa, conjugal pastimes. So Rupa and Sanatan had a brother. Brother was called Vallabha. He's not so known. And Vallabha was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So Rupa Goswami said, "Dear Vallabha, please hear from us. Lord Krishna is the supremely attractive. His beauty, sweetness, and pastimes of love are without limit. Engage yourself in devotional service to Krishna with the two of us. We are, after all, three brothers, and let us all stay together and enjoying discussing pastimes of Lord Krishna." So in other words, stop being a Ram Bhakta, become a Krishna Bhakta. So Vallabha tried to do it. He struggled the whole night, and in the morning he woke up, dark eyes. He had not found any rest, and he said, "I tried, but I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. I cannot take it away. That would be too painful for me. The two of you, my older brothers, please be merciful to me and order me in such a way that life after life I may serve the lotus feet of Lord Raghunath. You carry on worshipping Radha Krishna. I must serve Lord Ramachandra. Please order me." You know, it is like this in that culture. Whatever the older brother orders has to be done by the younger brother. So if you don't order me, if you order me the other way, I can also not live. So you order me, I should be the servant of Lord Raghunath or Ramachandra. Mahaprabhu commented on this. Oh, you tried to make him a devotee of Radha and Krishna? Yes, said Rupa and Sanatana. And you were not successful in doing this? No, he was so much into Ram Bhakti, he couldn't give it up. What do you think, my lord? And Lord Chaitanya said, good, 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 very good, very, very good. And in that context, he said, glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord. But glorious is also the Lord who does not abandon his servant. And then he extends the discussion to something which he had personally experienced. Mahaprabhu had a servant called Krishnadas. Do you remember? Kala Krishnadas. He was carrying Mahaprabhu's items, you know, his kamandalu, his water pot, and his sannyas stuff. Because Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic, he would dance and sing Krishna's holy name, and in the dance he would lose his sannyasi danda and his water pot. What will you do without water walking so long? It will not work. You can't walk very long. So he needed the servant, but then the servant got entangled. He met the Bhartriharis, that is, we would say today in our language, the Romans, in German language, die Zigeuner. It was a traveling tribe. And the Bhartriharis, they needed men, and Kala Krishna does look like a good man. So they sent their particularly trained ladies to seduce Kala Krishna das, seduce in Deutsch, verführen. And then Kala Krishna das left Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu could have said, well, let him go, this is his decision. He doesn't want to serve any longer. He wants another life. Good, well, let him do. But Mahaprabhu did not do this because he's God. God does not give up on us. We give up on each other very quickly. God doesn't do that. He loves us. And Kala Krishna das really did. In your language, you would say, he blew it. He really, really did a very bad thing. He broke all his principles. He was with these people who were smoking this and that, you know, and Bhartriharis, that's something, you know. Doing all sensual things which we don't do. Kala Krishna, this is his complete name. Kala Krishna, this, yes. He did. Mahaprabhu didn't give up on him. He went there, he spoke to the Bhartriharis and said, you took a man who was traveling with a servant, you took a monk and you made him follow your lifestyle by seducing him. You should now return him. But they got so agitated that they drew their weapons and swords and, you know, the sharp knives, the daggers it's called, and they came in a majority from all sides, and they wanted to kill Mahaprabhu. So as they were using their weapons, the weapons turned against them and came at them. Mahaprabhu is you can't kill Mahaprabhu. And then And then Mahaprabhu went to Kala Krishna and he took him and said, come now. And he took him and Kala Krishna just had a turn in mind. He said, oh no, what did I do? Ich war verzaubert. That was magic which worked on me. I'm sorry. And he excused himself and he became his normal self again. And Mahaprabhu continued to take him on his India journey. He did not give up on him. He didn't leave him. Krishna has not given up on any one of us. And also the devotees who are now in trouble, who are feeling discouraged, who are not so active, Krishna does not give up on them. And once you know that Krishna loves me in all circumstances, you have an inspiration to engage in Krishna consciousness. I think that's how every one of us is, Prasida Nitai. When we feel not accepted by someone, then we say, okay. But if we see that they love us despite our nastiness or our temporary illusion, we cannot give up on them, isn't it? That's how we are. Like, yes, that's how we are. Then our heart are sold out and we say, okay, you have not given up on me. I'm now a good. I will try to be a good person. I'm convinced that you love me. And this is all we need to feel in the relationship to Krishna. And then we spontaneously act in a good way. No problem, because that's the only need we have to feel as conditioned souls, that we are loved by God. Then that's only what we need. They say there's only two needs which any human being has, to feel that he is loved and to be able to express his love. No? So that we can do, that is the purpose of these series of lectures, to do that in relationship to Krishna. So therefore I'm collecting scriptural proofs to show how there is substance to belief like this, because I feel this is missing in our spiritual education. I have spoken enough for today. I will close now the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhagavatam, and if Krishna wills, we will open them another time. We will put them to rest now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki, Gaura Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bol.